Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
If you haven't yet, be sure to check out part one of this episode with our guest, Sarah Hall, available wherever you get podcasts.
And I think that's where it makes, I appreciate what you're sharing in that love and grace and still being able to say, okay, how can we create more supports for, you know, even, I think so often, and we've talked about, you know, the people who use abortion as a form of birth control. I still think of, you know, what we're able to do or not able to do in the sex trafficking world. You know, because there's no doubt, you know, abortion becomes a part of that as well, because there again, it's not like, you know, those children or, you know, individuals have the ability to make even a choice, you know, at that point. And that's, you know, put upon them. And so my head's just kind of spinning around this ability that we have to be able to help, you know, provide options. You know, for people who are in a place that I can't even begin to understand.
Yeah. As you were talking, I was thinking a lot. But my head just
Mark does that to me too.
So. He does it to me all the time. It's always good things though. Yeah. It's always good, but he definitely gets you thinking. I just kept thinking about how I first started coming to CR and how I got to CR in the first place. I had a boss of mine that I worked for many years, and she was involved in Celebrate Recovery. And I was very much in my addiction at the time, and she had pulled me outside every single day and was just like, hey, you need to get your life together. There's this place called Celebrate Recovery. It's down the street. Like, just go. And she did that for a couple years until I finally did go to CR. And, you know, like, changing lives, changing minds, like, yeah, it does stem from love, but it stems from relationship.
Yeah.
And I think that's the biggest impact that we can have as individuals is just that relationship, to offer that support and that love and getting to know people on a personal level and to say, like, hey, like, this is your problem. I love you. Like, let's figure this out together. You're not alone in this. Mm-hmm. And I think that it really just stems from a relationship.
Yeah.
And that relationship to some healthy individual, like a healthy relationship, right? Because there might be a lot of people in their dysfunction saying, well, I got relationships all around me. I got my ride or die partners, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, maybe that's not what we're referring to when we say relationship.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, no, because I agree with you 100%. And that's, you know, that's a big part of what I love about Celebrate Recovery is we call it our forever family, right? Like, you kind of come to a place where it's like there's some acceptance and love within those walls that binds you in a way that feels like family, which is incredible. And that's the kind of relationships we're talking about, not the kind that that accept you in your dysfunction, because, you know, like that codependent, like, I'll accept your dysfunction. You expect, you know, there's a song by what's her name?
I got it. I know it, Justin. No, I'm just joking with you.
Dolly Parton? Because I love Dolly. So,
yeah. Oh, okay.
Just got to throw that in there.
Sarah loves Dolly Parton.
There you go.
I'm not going to try to remember that. It'll come to me later. But, yeah, one of the things that
broken
was
broken people.
Yeah, it's a good one too.
That's what came to mind for me. I couldn't tell you who wrote it either, but
I got the melody in my head.
Oh, wow. Right, hum a little for us.
Nah.
Okay.
No, as you were talking, Mark and Sarah too, there's a verse that talks about where we'll offer comfort with the comfort we've been given. And I'm actually going to read it because often we kind of summarize them. But it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that, which I think is so cool, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. which is a mouthful, but essentially saying like when we go through stuff, that stuff God often uses to help encourage others, which again, I just want to reiterate, thankful for your bravery to talk about the subject. Mm-hmm. And I think this is an opportunity that you are doing that, right? Like, but in the situation of offering hope in that situation, a lot of times it's going to be someone like yourself or some, you know, someone who's been comforted in that way. And I would speak to those who haven't, okay? Those who haven't gone through that or haven't come to that close of making that decision, whichever side of that decision they fell on, to say, maybe just chill. Like, lead with love, lead with acceptance. Because I think another verse that came to mind, my brain was just going. And another verse that came to mind that I think often might be problematic for people in that situation is, to him who knows it's sin but doesn't do it, or something like, actually I have that too because I didn't want to butcher it. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not to do it. And I think a lot of times we lead with that when we are trying to help others, like, well, I know that's a sin, therefore you shouldn't do it. That's really not what the verse says. Like, if you look at it, it's talking about personal conviction. And so they might feel like, I personally feel convicted that, you know, abortion is a sin and, you know, I shouldn't do it. But I think there are other verses you can show to say, well, here's what God's word says about, you know, the womb inside your body and all that good stuff. And that's fine. But again, often we lead from a place of conviction for our own lives and we place it on someone else who doesn't have those convictions. Mm-hmm. And what that ends up doing is creating distance. And so you create a deficit in relationship, right? Like, and so instead of bonding in a relationship of understanding and support, you're actually separating yourself. You're creating a greater division. You're creating a me versus you, and you do things wrong, I do things right. And all, and that relationship aspect, that is part of that healing balm of love and grace, kind of disintegrates, I think, when you lead with those things. But again, in that loving, gracious place of saying, I can't imagine, whatever, that doesn't mean there's not opportunities to speak the truth. And by the truth, I don't mean what I believe, but I can say, well, Here's some verses that maybe you can use to consider as you know prayerfully consider this decision. I don't know. Yeah. That's what my brain is.
And I appreciate that because I'll be honest, that whole verse where, you know, Jesus, I think Jesus calls that out in us because there is this moment where, you know, he enters, you know, I think it was Paul's house, not Paul. He has the discussion. Basically, he entered one of the disciples' homes, and that's when the woman comes in and, you know, wets his feet with her tears and wipes it and anoints his feet. And, you know, he shares that verse of, you know, I came into your home, you didn't even wash my feet. She hasn't even necessarily, she wet my feet with her tears, that kind of thing. You know, the person who's been forgiven much loves much. Mm-hmm. And that's what I see in you, Sarah, in that aspect of being able to recognize that you recognize that you've been forgiven. There's been this process and you're able to share that in a way that says, I desire to love more people and bring love to people because of what I've experienced. And I think that's the way you're sharing that, in that sense of he who's been forgiven much. And I think so often what you're referring to in that difference is we don't always recognize how much we've been forgiven.
Yeah.
You follow me? And I think that's the beauty of it, when we can recognize that, no, we've all been forgiven much. It's just my job to recognize that. And I think, you know, when we, you know, as you shared, you know, you wrestled with that. And I think that is, if anything, ignited that love that you have in return for who God is, based on that wrestling, that pain you went through, and recognizing that the grace still abounds even more. And that's ignited your love for him, or promoted that love for him in a way that nothing else could have. And so that's kind of where I was, as the verses were coming and the mind goes. And I think I appreciate your willingness to share that in a way that is conveying love to other people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for that.
Oh, no problem.
You know, to be forgiven much, we have to mess up a whole lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we've all messed up a whole lot, like what you said. And, you know, going back to abortion, it is, there's no other sin that really compares to it. All sin is equal in the eyes of God, absolutely. But when it comes to a human suffering, like, there's really no comparison to that. And, like, what mentally and physically you go through is kind of what I'm referring to. But I guess a good way to kind of think about it is, for somebody that hasn't had an abortion, that hasn't had, like, a personal connection to it, and is just looking at it at maybe politically or spiritually or emotionally, and try to think of, like, your worst sin that you've ever done, the thing that have the thing that really tears at you, like, inside, and now try to think of when you went to somebody to say, hey, like, I got this struggle, I got this sin that I got going on. And they didn't accept you with love. They came at you with, you're going to hell. You're doing the wrong thing. This is bad. And let's say that you weren't even a believer at that point. Is that going to make you believe in God? And I think that goes back to what you were saying, is that ultimately, like, bringing people to God is the ultimately goal that we all have here. And, you know, hate doesn't generate that. And, you know, love does. And, you know, it's hard, especially with abortion, because it is such a heavy topic, to put our own feelings aside and to generate and show that love. It's hard to do, especially when it's somebody that you care about, or maybe it's even your own spouse. You know, it's hard to put your own feelings aside. But I think we have to. A lot of the times, to show that love, especially if you have such strong feelings of, you know, your own convictions of how you feel about that. And change of heart and mind only comes when we want it to change. And I don't know about you guys, but I've never ran to something when I felt like I didn't like wasn't loved by it.
Is that part of that dynamic? And I realize you recognize it as a continuum, and is that part of what keeps you, if I may say so, on that choice side of halfway, if you will? Cause I'm as you described it, I'm seeing your shift more towards center. And yet if we would maybe at 50% and 50%, you know, there's going to be a choice where I'm really wrestling with that dynamic of life versus choice. I'm seeing you as close to the center and still on the choice side. Is that more about what keeps you on that side, is just that aspect of that ability to recognize a person needs to have that acceptance to be able to choose?
Yeah, I would say so. I think spiritually and more now emotionally and mentally, I have more sides that are in the middle and probably leaning towards the other side. And politically, I'm more pro-choice. And I just think that when we have heavy opinions on one way or the other, there's no room for a compromise for people that don't believe another way. So we're all believers in this room, but a lot of this country is not. And if we're saying that this is what we want in this country and in our laws, and it's based off of what we believe spiritually, when we have free choice as a country to believe what we want to believe, and I do think that our politicians need to, you know, answer to a higher power, absolutely. But we also get a free choice of what that higher power is. That's part of America. And it's hard to say this is what it should be because this is what I believe based on my religion. I think if we want to be able to say that, we have to change hearts and minds and bring people to God instead of just like throwing what we believe and what the Bible says at them, if they don't even believe it, because that means nothing to them. Those words are just words if they don't have a basis in what they believe, if that makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah, like a moral position.
We come off judgmental.
Yeah.
In that dynamic. Mm-hmm. Sure.
I also think you're drawing a pretty, in my mind, a pretty clear distinction. So there's basically two things we're talking about. We're talking about relationship. We're talking about someone's in front of me dealing with this decision. And I think that's one of these things that we're talking about. And I think that's largely what we've been talking about, is that relationship, love, grace. But I think there's also this distinction of that, but and then what we're talking about now, which is kind of the political position, right? And I do think those by nature will always be different, and that's acceptable. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And if I'm ever around someone that's going through this decision, I'm going to take this conversation into that, right? And I'm going to do my darndest to show love and grace. And I think absolutely, right? Like that's how I will be in, I want it to be in it. I'm not going to look at them and do that whole sinner thing and all that whole. That being said, politically, that doesn't mean that I'm now backed off of my position of believing that when you do that, it's wrong, and therefore we should. And also there's, you know, I'm sure you've heard arguments on both sides. I don't know how much you've, if it were me, I'll just be honest and say I'd probably avoid that subject if I had an abortion, because I don't need all the talking points. I don't know that. Again, that's me personally, so I don't know where you fall on that. But what I would say is, like, there's a lot of non-religious reasons that we could make a case for that abortion is wrong, right? So some scientific ones, all that kind of stuff. And then it kind of depends on the subjective nature of how you read that science. Well, what does that mean and all that kind of stuff? Long story short, I guess what I'm saying is, there is the opportunity there for everyone to have some political beliefs and decisions and kind of the way that they support. And there are going to be people who feel very strongly like about these things and work very hard to change these things because they believe it's right. Not because of what God said, but believe it's right in the grand scheme of things. And in that case, it's kind of the same reverse grace. Like, I have to trust that God's doing something in their life and they have a reason for that position, really, on both sides,
sure.
You know, but it's not up to me in the same way. It's not up to me to like sit there in judgment over someone dealing with that decision. Mm-hmm. It's not for me to sit there in judgment over someone's political position, why they came to that and why they believe that, why they're, you know, are whatever they're doing about that, whether, you know, some of us are passive in our political beliefs like me, you know, and some of us are more outgoing and we're posting on social media. We're doing all these things. I think that grace should go in reverse too, right? Like they're clearly coming from a position where they feel very strongly about this. And it could be as simple as like they had an abortion and they, you know, like they've come full circle, right? Like God's convicted them. And then it's kind of that to him who knows what's right and doesn't do it. So now they're kind of like, this has to change. The system's broken. We got to make it so that that's no longer an option. I can get that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Anyway, I guess all of this was just to say, like, I do think there's two conversations here and they're both, you know, important to have. Mm-hmm. And I think if there was a takeaway from this, I wouldn't want it to be the political stuff. You know, that conversation is kind of secondary and interesting, but I think the more important conversation is to say real life, like, do you know someone who's been through this, who's heading towards this, and how can you interact with that person in a way that's healthy and creates that relationship? If that can come out of this episode, you know, to me, that's a much bigger win than right or wrong political or like kind of the political side of things. But I do think it's important to talk about the political side of things because that's what drives a lot of the judgment and two-sided thing, you know. Mm-hmm.
And I think it's interesting because Sarah kind of brought that up a little earlier too. Is, you know, she mentioned the fact, well, some of these things that I'd like to see, we're not going to change in this room.
Yeah.
You know, and yet there's a part of me that can disagree with that. in such a way that says, no, when we're having conversations with people, we can promote that bigger change in a way, just in a grassroots level, one person at a time type thing that, you know, whether it's a person that hears the podcast or whether it's a person that we are, you know, after talking with you personally, more convicted about offering support to people, you know, that we might not have offered support to. And I think, you know, that in and of itself, not arguing the point, but just, you know, being able to recognize, no, there's definitely some change, and we may not, we may tend to underestimate the change that us being honest and being vulnerable even can promote outside of this room, you know, just by that interaction. So yeah, I mean, by all means, it was just one of those things that triggered a thought for me. It's like, I think Sarah can promote more change from inside this room than she may even realize.
Thanks for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree with the ripple effect, you know, like that's very much a thing. I think what I was referencing, you know, we're not changing any laws today, but
no.
I definitely agree with that, that, sure. that little things can, you know, generate big change.
Sure.
And it starts with one person.
Yeah. So was there anything else? We're probably getting close on time. I see Justin looking there a little bit. Was there anything else that you would like to specifically share about just your experience? She went to the back side of the page.
Making sure I touched the topics that I had written down.
And that's why I'm asking, because I want you to be able to offer that.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I pretty much touched everything I got. But just in general, like, I think a big thing that I just wanted to come here and say is just promoting love, which I think I've touched on that. And just realizing that change isn't going to happen overnight, and change comes from within, but also comes from the people next door and the people that are around us and we can touch our lives, and that we all have the ability to touch each other's lives. And that starts with our choices and our actions and how we decide to impact others, because we could have a negative impact on others. Absolutely. And, you know, there's a good chance that we probably will. You know, we will always make mistakes. We will always have our own problems, but all we can do is try to be better and to learn from our mistakes and to use those mistakes to help others. And I think that was just the big message that I wanted to come across and how I wanted to take this approach.
Sure. No, and as I was thinking about, you know, in that trying, recognizing that if we're doing that in and of ourselves, if we're trying in and of our own strength, you know, we are going to probably end up frustrated. And yet being able to recognize that, you know, through Christ and his transforming power, change becomes, you know, more hope filled than hopeless, you know, based on my circumstances. And I realize, you know, we're talking about that from a spiritual dynamic at that point. But I think, you know, so much of, as you shared at the very beginning, it is, you know, so much of what we wrestle with is this, you know, spiritual, emotional, I think all those things that you mentioned, you know, that really kind of grip us where we're at, have that spiritual, emotional, physical, you know, context that it's just complex. And, you know, and it you know, it's the things that aren't necessarily connected to everything that seem to be able to kind of create change. But when it's really complex and complicated, yeah, that's when it's difficult. And I appreciate, you know, what you've shared in that process of going through that difficult, complex journey. Appreciate you sharing that with us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate this.
It's been problem.
Awesome. And just for you guys' willingness to have this conversation and to just put this out there and to have somebody that you knew that had different views than you, and have a lot of respect for that.
Happy to do so.
Yeah.
I mean, really,
truly happy. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
That's what we're about.
It's been one of those conversations we've had. It's like, this is a polarizing topic. So how do we begin to address this? So we appreciate your willingness to help us begin that process. Yeah.
Sharing how you see it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
In this second half of the episode, Mark and I discuss a bit about our chat with Sarah and just share a little bit more of our thoughts about this subject and the conversation we had there. We hope you enjoy this little bit of a recap.
Yeah, will have been, I think, two parts of Sarah, Sarah Hall, talking about abortion.
Yeah.
Which, man, I'm just personally very, very thankful that she's willing to share from her personal story. And, you know, number one, this topic of abortion is extremely polarizing,
No doubt.
Right? Like, when we talk about polarizing topics, that's this is one that is so polarizing, we said we're not going to touch it unless there can be somebody who can talk about it who has some experience, right?
Sure.
So, you know, number one, just bravery for being able to share her story and from that place, you know, even at the risk of potentially feeling judged by, you know, even us or anyone listening, right? So I just appreciate her being willing to do that. Also, I was very, I guess, appreciative of the opportunity to have, like what we talk about, right? Have a conversation.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And kind of talk about her perspectives and ours and kind of do that in a respectful way. I think that's what I really enjoy about this podcast. That's really what I enjoy about when I'm learning from this podcast is how to do that, right?
Yeah.
And do it in a loving way. And what are your thoughts, Mark?
Well, and at the same time, I think we want to recognize with this podcast as we add it to, you know, it's not a desire to, we value what Sarah did, and it's not a desire to talk about it in a way that is contrary to her without her being here to represent herself.
Right. Okay.
But the reality of it is there was so much that came out of it that we thought we could add to the discussion a little more, especially, you know, in the topics of, you know, where politics are concerned and the ability to have that conversation as we talk about. And I think so often part of those groans that you mention, and some of it is the difference between conversation and debate. Because I think so often we've lost our ability to, you know, just actually listen to someone without having to say, well, what about, you know, in that process that says, you know, you need to see it from my perspective versus our ability to just listen to someone, anyone, you know, about a topic and be able to even just hold our own, you know, thoughts.
Yeah.
Because I realize, you know, probably even in the process of the podcast, you know, there are often times when people might say, well, why didn't you say this? Or why did, you know, we'll get that in certain topics, even outside of, you know, abortion or politics or stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, why didn't you say this? Or why didn't you say that?
Yeah.
And it's like, because there's a difference at times between being able to enter into a conversation and the desire to have a debate and have to, you know, express our differences.
Yeah.
And I think in some cases, you know, that's very, you know, that was another aspect that I appreciated about the podcast, that ability to be able to just enter into relationship with someone, even knowing that we might have a different viewpoint.
Yeah, your two things kind of go hand in hand. The a couple of things you just said, the ability to have a conversation that doesn't require correcting or at least making my position known, right? Like, kind of goes hand in hand with building and maintaining a relationship.
Sure.
You know, no one really enjoys being in a relationship with somebody who's always arguing or trying to convince or whatever. And so there's got to be some room for listening.
Right.
Just listening, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, also, you know, why didn't you say this? Why don't you whatever? Well, because, you know, with 45 minutes to an hour and a half, you can't say all the things, you know. And in this case, I think we very much enjoyed having the opportunity to listen as well and kind of hear from her perspective. Because I don't know about you, Mark, but I definitely heard some things in her perspective that I hadn't considered before, like just some perspectives and just being able to kind of walk over to put myself in her shoes and go, oh, I kind of see that now, where before I could honestly say I've never considered that position or that concern
sure.
and that kind of thing. So
Yeah, I think that's part of it too, is there's time limits, there's in relationship. And I liked that. We did talk about that in the episode, about kind of the difference is between kind of the relational aspect of abortion and, right, being involved in relationship with someone who's in the midst of figuring that out, whatever that looks like, versus kind of the overarching theme, political theme of abortion and kind of how it splits sides in two and that whole thing. So any thoughts about that, Mark?
No, yeah, I was thinking about it too, in that what you shared previously was just how, well, it becomes divisive. Mm-hmm. You know, when people and we get tired in relationships where, you know, people say, well, did you think about that? Did you think about that? And it's, you know, it becomes tiring. Mm-hmm. And when we're able to enter into a conversation that basically says, okay, yeah, just help me understand, you know, where you're coming from. And I think in the process, and I'll be, you know, I was thinking about it in the context of things we were aware of. I think in conversation, we can be surprised sometimes. And I think, you know, coming into an interview, like, you know, as we've done before, you know, there are those surprises that come along the way.
Oh,
and it's like, oh, I didn't necessarily realize you saw it that way.
Yeah.
And I think that has the ability to deepen relationship because we're able to see something different. And I think that was there again, to kind of share your point, what stood out to me was the ability to recognize that, you know, as different as my view is from someone, their view makes perfect sense based on where they're at and where they've come from.
Mm-hmm. And vice versa.
Yeah. Right. To be able to say, okay, yeah. And that was one thing that I learned from Sarah, you know, is how important that mental health component is, you know, because regardless of where I'm at, if my thinking, you know, is stinking thinking, you know, as the saying goes, you know, is gonna lead towards a behavior that isn't necessarily beneficial.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that can be across the board. And I think, you know, that's where the relationship dynamic comes into play, is being able to have people.
Yeah.
And I just had a discussion last night, you know, I give the person I was talking with credit. They basically said, you know, I don't necessarily want your opinion on this. Nice. I just want, you know, you to be able to vent in such a way that, you know, I'm able to verbally process what I'm thinking. And, you know, in that moment, I just really was able to hear that as a gift that says, okay, I desire relationship with you, but I don't necessarily need your opinion on this. And I just like I say, thought that was really a gift.
Yeah.
And I don't think we often take time to, you know, value the gifts that were given in circumstances like that.
Yeah, I mean, again, one of the things that stood out to me in regards to what you're talking about with mental health is considering, and this is, you know, kind of morbid, but the idea of when you're struggling with depression and you're not sure you can maintain your own life, right?
Yep.
And then on top of it, you're like, and there's another one that has to deal with, you know,
sure.
When I think about that perspective, I think, I don't know how, if you can't even hope for your own life, how you can hope for that one as well.
Sure.
And I can see, you know, definitely see, that's a new perspective that I hadn't really considered again.
Yeah.
Was, you know, how you would fight that. And, you know, for some people, I'm sure, you know, mental health is so faceted, right? So for some people, that other life could be the thing that drives them on and to say, well, not for me, but for it, you know, for the baby or whatever. And for others, it would be a hopeless thing, right? Like,
yeah,
I can't even maintain my own existence. How am I, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think you bring up a great point, because I think those perspectives are completely different in that context, because the one person who kind of gets inspired might not necessarily be dealing with depression. the same way the other person is, mm-hmm. because depression is that yeah. ability to be or to feel yeah. at times just overwhelmed.
Yeah. But I'll argue that and say sometimes depression sometimes you need a thing to hang on to.
Sure.
And that's the thing that keeps you moving.
Agreed.
And no, it's I'm not depressed. It's that yeah. thing is the thing that I grab onto and pull myself through the day.
It is the source of hope yeah. in the midst of the depression.
Yeah, or even obligation sometimes. like, you know, I have to maintain for this thing's sake.
Sure.
So I have to get out of bed and go to work. I have to, you know.
A higher purpose.
And I'm coming from my own perspective sometimes when struggling with depression. It's like,
yeah,
I get out of bed and I go to work. You know, some people, again, it's a faceted thing, right?
Yeah.
So some people struggle with depression and they go through seasons where they can't get out of bed. They can't go to work. They can't whatever. And I can't relate to that. What I can say is I still trudge to work. I still do those things. But because I'm like hanging on to the obligation things that I, you know, like for my family, for the people that work for me, different things like that, like I'm driven obligatorily towards them. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that, like, even again, considering abortion, I could definitely see how that could be a driving factor to
sure. moving. For some.
Yeah.
No
for
doubt.
Some. Yeah, for some. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah. And it may not be for others. And that's where that faceted dynamic comes into play.
I also really like where she said, take your worst sin, the thing you're the most ashamed about. Like, she just put that so well and really kind of helped realign it for me. You know, we stand on the sidelines and go, well, that decision is easy. Of course you don't do that. But it's at the same, like I said, if you can really dive into yourself and think about that situation of the most shameful thing and then have people around both sides telling you what you should do about the shameful, you know, just like the intensity of emotions, that adds a whole new perspective that I think changes things as well in terms of it's just an on-off decision. It's just yes, no. It's not that difficult. And of course, you know what the answer is, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my perspective.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, you know, that's where that difference comes into play is that it just doesn't fit. My perspective just doesn't necessarily fit your scenario at times, depending on where you're at.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, it came back to me, you know, from that, how important that relationship piece is.
Yeah.
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 What else came to you from that recording as far as that goes?
I mean, I think we touched on it, but just how we kind of defined the fact that that conversation was very much about the relational aspect. And right. So, and then there's the political side. And I think from a political side, again, she expressed some of her positions there in terms of things she expects from the government and different things like that. And my struggle with some of that stuff is I just don't know that the government's ever been that good at, you know, providing those perfect opportunities. Now, I bet that the government already has some things in place, but because it's the government, like, it's not easy to find or it's not easy to get, or I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but the thing that she mentioned is the most important is love. And you know, the government, that's not going to come from the government, right? And so that would be my kind of thoughts about that. And because again, politically, I do think we probably fall on different sides of that perspective, and that's totally okay. And again, I haven't experienced the struggle of abortion and having to make those decisions and what that process looks like and who's there, who's not there, all that. So I can't, but I can say, like, you know, and we also talked about the moral, you know, the government's not necessarily meant to, you know, how do we describe it? You know, I'm talking about the government's not good at defining moral.
Sure.
Making people be moral.
Yes.
And yet all of our laws are based on some moral.
Sure.
Right? Like
yeah.
guideline of some sort. I don't know. Just some thoughts on that.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there again, the political, I think at times, and we've seen the political, I think if you've been alive, as depending on how long you've been alive, you've been able to see these fluctuations, these cycles, if you will, you know, of, you know, bigger government. I guess it's hard to see it in some ways that are smaller government, but we can see glimpses where, you know, depending on the leadership in place, you know, there's these glimpses of, you know, what it would look like. And yet, you know, I appreciate what you're sharing in that context, that it's just politics makes it divisive.
Yeah.
And whenever we're looking to do relationship better, or I guess for me, skeptically speaking, I don't necessarily see, you know, the government always being able to do it better than, you know, God's people. I just don't think it can. I don't think, and I think that is in some ways a judgment, if I may, you know, against the church.
Yeah.
Because I think in some cases we have, as a church, you know, we have pulled back, or, you know, we have not been a voice, or we've been apathetic, or, you know, that kind of thing in speaking out. Or when we've spoken out, it's more about, you know, boycotts and I'm not going to use it. Not that those things can't have.
Or shouting at people walking into the.
Yeah, that was definitely a bigger part of that. You know, it's like that vehement, you know, disdain for who you are because of your behavior.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's where we need to be careful in that process, and being able to say, okay, recognizing that the person, recognize the value in the person regardless of the behavior they're currently choosing. I think that's something that I am more aware of.
Yeah. So from both of our perspectives, I think the work is going to be more valuable in pushing the church to have these conversations and having real relationships with people in these situations, you know, than, you know, the voting side of things and trying to enforce that. Like, you know, from a political perspective, I think we have more opportunity and probably are going to be more effective in pushing for these conversations, like what we're doing now. I feel like this is more valuable than, you know, trying to speak for 3 weeks in a row about how important it is you go out and vote for, you know, this political side so that we can prevent, you know, abortion and all that. That doesn't mean I don't think you should vote, and that doesn't mean I don't think those things matter. But I think that's kind of what I'm hearing you say, and I definitely agree with that in terms of that's where the work is on the personal relationship sides, and where possible, encouraging, you know, love in that area and reaching out in that area and being available in that area rather than, you know, standing across the street, you know, throwing tomatoes, you know.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that kind of came out of the podcast as I'm thinking about it was, I think sometimes there's a difference between, well, you mentioned obligation. I think there is a healthy twinge of guilt that I can feel after a conversation like that I'm not involved, you know, in a way, because I, you know, as that was I'll be honest, that was one of the podcasts that I was, you know, able to listen to or chose to listen to, you know, again, before we came back to this, and, you know, being able to recognize that, sometimes a topic is going to rightfully, you know, create a little guilt that I could be doing more. And I think sometimes being able to just hear that or feel that, you know, it doesn't have to elicit a defensive response.
Sometimes we fight it.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to feel guilty because.
And yet feeling that is a healthy thing from my perspective. And that doesn't mean that I need to specifically go do something else. You know, now granted, I may, depending on the topic, but I think so often our tendency can be, it's like, well, then I need to, because in that process of conversation, I think that's where part of my desire was. It's like, tell me, you know, how I can help prior to. I can be of help in the midst of the situation. Mm-hmm. And the more I've kind of reflected, not in a apathetic kind of way, but the more I've kind of, it's like, okay, I need to be about the things that I need to be about, having the relationships that I need, that God's bringing in my life right now.
Yeah.
And, you know, and being able to recognize, you know, those relationships are important.
Yeah.
And it's not about necessarily, mm-hmm. you know, doing the bigger thing or, you know, the more flashy thing.
Yeah.
It's more about being consistent in the relationships I have right now. And I, you know, it kind of came up there a little bit when Sarah mentioned that, and it's kind of in the same thing, your same vein you mentioned, something to the effect of, you know, this podcast isn't necessarily going to change some of these bigger dynamics. Mm. And, you know, from a governmental standpoint, yeah. or, you know, and yet I challenged it in the podcast, so I don't feel like I'm being duplicitous or anything, but yeah, being able to recognize it is quite often those little relationships, you know, that can make a big difference. And I think, you know, as we talked about it, that was a part where we really kind of came back to an agreement that there is the ability to affect change with just, you know, my daily relationships and God's grace.
Yeah. Yeah. And we talked about purpose before, right?
Sure.
The episode. And I do think if you are squarely in what you feel your purpose is, then you can affect change in areas that you don't have any business going over to.
Yeah.
And so I think this is an example of that where, you know, abortion's not going to, it sounds like you came away a little bit of that guilt. So before I get to the guilt thing, I think is important in terms of there's a song that says, break my heart for what breaks yours.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I think it's important that we let those things crack a few more, you know, areas of our hard heart and be able to soften that and say, dang, you know, should I be doing something and like be prayerful about that and considerate of it. And I think the bare minimum, that conversation will color the rest of our lives, right?
Sure.
So, and I think that's important.
Right.
And I think that's not nothing, you know?
Right.
And that's without even talking about it publicly in the forum of a podcast, where I think this is the thing we can do. Now, we're not going to become some, it sounds like we're both on the same page, where we're not going to become, you know, some sort of abortion counseling service or whatever, that kind of thing. Which I think, like that wrestling is good. That being said, I do understand how that conversation will change my perspective in any future conversations, which is a ripple effect, which now we're changing the world. You know, I think by Sarah being willing to come and share that, it's that impactful, I think.
Yeah, right? No doubt. And I think that's where we're, you know, being able to recognize that, yeah, those daily relationships, and I like that part, I think, and we talked about either way, that aspect, search me, oh God, you know, and the things, you know, it's kind of a living Bible translation, but the, you know, let the things that make you sad make me sad.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that's a healthy perspective to be able to share, and being able to be sad with someone is an important thing to be able to do.
Yeah. And picking out, you know, doing the wrestling of saying, why do I feel guilty? Mm-hmm. And then recognizing, well, number one, I probably haven't done the things I could do in the past. There's probably some opportunities I missed. So that's a good opportunity to reflect and recognize that and try and wrestle with that. Mm-hmm. And number two, is there something I should do differently? And number three, am I just supposed to peel apart the feeling of guilt from, like you said, that sadness, kind of taking on that sadness and having that, you know, soften our heart?
No doubt.
But yeah.
And I think, and here again, I'm going to kind of wrap up from my perspective, you know, to a certain degree. I think I like, whenever we deal, and I think the political aspect is a great way to do that, because we talked about that mental health component. And I think when we go too far back, you know, we're kind of dealing with shame.
Yeah.
You know, I did this and suddenly that's unforgivable. you know, and so therefore I deal with the shame. And from my perspective, that's too far back. And I think in our political realm, we see this all the time. Well, if they hadn't done this, we wouldn't be in this situation. You follow me? Because it's about blaming what that person did, knowing full well we're judging that person from hindsight. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I think when we do that, you know, we're definitely creating shame when we go too far back. And when we go too far forward, from my perspective, we're actually, you know, dealing with anxiety to a certain degree, because in some ways we're trying to predict the future. We're trying to control the future. And what if this happens? Well, then we do this. And then, well, what if that happens? Then we do that. And I think, you know, to be able to recognize, yes, we have responsibility to make healthy choices. And yet I think there's that part of us that wants to predict and think that we have some kind of control over the situation. And I think at that point, you know, we're gonna definitely wrestle with anxiety, because, well, what if I make the wrong choice? What if I do that wrong? You know, And I think so often, as we're as kind of brings to mind, you know, the present is a gift.
Yeah.
Being able to stay right here, being able to recognize my choices have consequences. But at the same time, I'm making the best choices that I can based on where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
And it's not a desire to intentionally do something that causes someone pain. But yeah, I'm going to.
Right.
And so that being said, I think it's beneficial when we're just able to stay in the moment, feel what we feel, and continue to strive to make the best choices we can based on where we've come from, in the midst of being able to grow and, you know, recognize we've made mistakes, but going back or going forward too far and trying to live there isn't beneficial.
Yeah.
And I good. And I think, you know, that's where we get into, you know, so often the political realm comes into play, as I was reminded, you know, and just being able, it was just a good time to be able to be present and just get to know, you know, Sarah a little better in that opportunity and hear her story.
Yeah. So thank you so much for coming on, Sarah, and sharing, and just know that you touched two old white dude's hearts. So thank you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much. This is How We See It.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said dot click, as in dot C-L-I-C-K. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.